Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Good day after Thanksgiving morning, Black Friday. My guest today is Lizbeth Calandrino. Lizbeth is a successful entrepreneur in Albany, and she's going to talk a little bit about the importance of Small Business Saturday. So, Liz, when did Small Business Saturday first come into being?
Well, Small Business Saturday, Cynthia, has been around since 2010. And, of course, it was founded by American Express, and it gave American Express holders, at that time, it was like, I think it was $50. They gave $50 credit on their card if they bought so much at a small retailer. The problem was that a lot of retailers didn't get into it, Cynthia, because they didn't carry American Express. I mean, American Express mm-hmm. was always known for charging more, you know, in the payback to the retailer. So a lot of people didn't take advantage of it. And it seems I'm going to go take a look. I'll be out tomorrow. I've worked a couple of Small Business Saturdays for retailers. I worked for a kitchen store in Great Barrington for a couple of years just to get the hang of it.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, there's so many chains. Why do you think that Small Business Saturday is so important?
Well, small businesses, we're always, and I consider myself a small business. I'm a small business consultant. So, you know, what we're always looking for, Cynthia, are ways to differentiate ourselves from the big guys, you know, that have all the money, have all the resources. So Small Business Saturday gives us an opportunity to do that. Now, remember, American Express has a lot of tools for us. They give us signage, email templates, badges, and other marketing materials that they can download for nothing. And so it gives us a piece of identity, I think, that we don't have. So now we all kind of gang together and, you know, it allows customers to see us as a huge small business resource.
Now, when you drive down Wolf Road is so built up. How many mom and pop stores would you say were on Wolf Road?
You know, I don't know how many. Well, small business is any business has under 150 employees, so there's probably, it wouldn't be the chain stores, it might be the nail salons or the hair salons. I mean, I don't know. The guitar store is there. The thing is that it takes effort. I mean, it really takes that you've got to be thinking about this and thinking what kind of things can I do that are different? And stop thinking about competing with the big boys if you're thinking about Wolf Road. I mean, people like Walmart and Target are going to take advantage of Black Friday. So let them do that. But this one of the things that's really good about this is it gets consumers out, Cynthia. And so, you know, we're all kind of, you know, hot about shopping. I mean, we're going to have Cyber Monday, Black Friday, Small Business Saturday. We have lots of opportunities to be enthralled with what's going on in the marketplace if we choose. But, you know, one of the things about Small Business Saturday is if you're a retailer, you also need to have something online. If it were me, I would take Small Business Saturday and I would extend it right straight through till Monday evening. And I would have things online, and I would have, you know, come in on Saturday, I have this, come in on Sunday, and Monday is Cyber Monday, but I've got some deals for you. I have some deals for you online that you could take advantage of on Monday too. So I think you've got to play to the whole 3 days. There's just lots of opportunities to get known.
Black Friday is bigger or not as big as it used to be. I find it very disconcerting that a lot of businesses are malls and stuff are open on Thanksgiving. You know, I don't think that's terrific. What do you think?
I don't know why they shouldn't be open. The whole world is open. If you're watching the Thanksgiving Day Macy's parade, look at all the people that are working there. I mean, you know, we get into, oh, they have to work. People, oh, the poor people that work in whatever that store is. No, the whole world is working. You know, if you want to work and you have the opportunity, fine. Maybe if you don't want to work, maybe you have an opportunity not to do it. I don't know, but I don't think it's a bad thing. I think it's just a way for us to figure out, again, listen, there is a lot of competition out there. So you need to find ways to separate yourself from everybody else. Now, I'm thinking about Saturday, so here we go. One is that you got to have some specials. You've got to have some hoopla. There ought to be balloons and banners and excitement. And all of the salespeople that are working should be talking about how exciting Small Business Saturday and what does it mean to shop at home in this little business? Why is it really important? And you can also, you know, you can have a little cocktail party. You can raise money for your favorite charity. And to go along with this, my suggestion is that you hook up with another small business. So let's say that you're in the kitchenware business and you have one of those beautiful little home stores. Well, maybe you go down the street and you go to the florist, and maybe the florist makes some wreaths for you for the holidays. Or you get somebody with trees, Christmas trees, to be in front of your store. We need to begin to look at stores as if they are the hubs of the community. Because if we don't do that, consumers won't bother to come out. Because why go out to shop and buy a pot or a pan when you can do it? I was this morning online looking at an oven. I mean, with one of my friends, and he and I were talking about it. Could I possibly go see it locally? Or who cares? Just order it from Amazon. So the point is that all small businesses are in the same position. It's how to get more customers, how to keep the customers that I have, and how to make those customers think that I'm the place to hang out. Come to my place Saturday morning, small business, but we're going to have a Zumba class. We're going to open at 8 o'clock. We're going to have a Zumba for kids. Bring your kids in. 9 o'clock, we're going to have yoga. Again, the thing is that if places like the Metropolitan Museum of Art can have an exercise class as you're walking through to look at the paintings, I mean, what's wrong with the rest of us? I mean, that is just so cool.
Wow. So, you know, today is Black Friday. Do you think that and Monday is Cyber Monday. Do you think that the internet is taking over what used to be brick and mortar stores?
If you look at the statistics, there are more stores that have just opened in 2017 than have closed. That is what, I don't know what the stats are, but I read it. That is what it is. The internet is not going to take over brick and mortar. What it's going to do is make it easier for customers to shop. There are still people that want to talk to people. You know, you were at my house yesterday. People were on their phones. I looked around. People were texting on their phones, but people were talking to each other. So there are people that want to go to brick and mortar. They want to see things. They want to have an interaction with other people. The key is that small businesses have to change their model of who they are. They are not just selling products, Cynthia, but what they're selling is kind of a lifestyle. You are the hub in the community. And as a hub, you invite people in. You have parties. You raise money. You become the place to go. Everybody is still looking for connections. And even online, when they talk about going online, people are still looking. You know, if you ever notice, you go to a store and you click on it, and in 5 seconds, live chat comes up. There's a little person, and it says, "You want to talk to me? Can we talk about this?"
I mean, I use the live chat. I'm sure other people do. It's just that we need to change what a brick-and-mortar store is. Will there be less of them than we've had? Probably, because just like when Walmart came to town, remember that? People said, oh, they're going to drive everybody out of business. Well, they did drive a lot of people out of business. But a lot of it was because they kind of needed to go out of business. For the first time, you found that the guy down the block who was selling appliances that your parents went to forever, that the prices there were way, way out of whack. They were like $500 and $600 more. Now, yes, you can say that the box stores can buy them cheaper, and why not? And if I was that big, I could. Well, what I told businesses then and what I'm going to tell them now is the same thing, which is differentiate yourself from everybody else out there. Go support a charity in your organization. Why not have local celebrities or officials stop in, have local talent, kids dancing, and make the most of your social media. You could take tons of pictures with everything that's going on and put it online, do a live stream from your store. If it was Facebook, that's what I would be doing. All you're trying to do, nothing has changed. The game hasn't changed. There are just more options in the game. It's still the same thing. How do I get customers to like me better than you?
Is there any kind of organization where small businesses network with one another?
You know, I don't know about that. You know, in Albany, we have the BID, Business Downtown Development. You know, I did quite a bit of work in Schenectady for downtown merchants, and they had several workshops that I did. They were pretty long. They were like three-hour workshops, and we had a lot of people that came from J Street and were interested in finding new ways to bring in customers. And how they could be part of it is really collaborating. You know, as a small business, if you collaborate with four other different types of merchants, all of a sudden you become a big guy. People say, wow, look at this. They have the florist here. They got Christmas trees outside. They're serving food. You know, they've got a 50-50 raffle that they're doing. And part of my money goes to Lymphoma Association. So it's like you just have to begin to think about yourself differently, like be in the party place.
Hey, maybe you and I could start a network for small businesses. What do you think?
I don't know. Who knows? Maybe we could. You know, maybe we could start a small business. Now, I don't know if that's the there are some, like I said, in Schenectady, I know, in Albany, there's the BID. You know, the development, and, you know, maybe what they could do, or maybe they do, I don't really know, is they could start planning events like that with their small businesses and bring in somebody to talk about what are the things that they could do to invite customers. And again, this needs to be a holiday tradition. This needs to be, look, it's part of the festivities that's going on in your city, which is all the shopping. You know, have your donuts and your hot chocolate, and maybe you have an ice sculpture. Make it a family tradition for you and your customers so that every year they say, hey, Small Business Saturday, I'm going down to Liz's place. You know, we're going to have fun. We're going to have music. We're going to have stuff for the kids. And I'll pick up some presents for the holiday.
Now, you've been an entrepreneur all your life. When did Black Friday become the, you know, the event that it is today? Was it always like this?
You know, I don't really know about that. I just know that 10 years ago, I decided to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and head over to Target and interview people in line, which I did. And unfortunately, it was raining and it was nasty. But I had my umbrella. I went and interviewed. There were people giving out coffee, people serving hot chocolate, and it wasn't Target. it was just a bunch of people that decided it would be a good thing to do. I think that we love to shop. You know, I don't care who it is. It's not just women. Men love to shop. So what we're doing is we're giving them an opportunity. And, you know, those deals, 4 o'clock in the morning. I was in Home Depot the other day, and I was looking at these beautiful lamp posts that they had. They were like $150, 7 feet tall. Oh, they were so gorgeous. And they would look perfect in front of my old house. And I said to the guy, wow, $150. I got stuff out there now. And he said, listen, come back and see whether, and he said, see whether or not we have a discount on it. But I'm telling you, he said, if we do discount that, there will be none left by noon. So, you know, like I was, oh, my gosh, should I buy it today and pay full retail? Or should I wait? I mean, he really piqued my interest. So whether you're a big store or a small store, a lot of this has to do with how you train your employees. I mean, just don't leave it up to them to make up stuff. Help them with it. Help them have a good time, make extra money, and know what to say to the customer. So Friday, Black Friday, is just part of the deal. If you want to have a Black Friday, you know, good for you if you're a small business. But there's 3 days that small business has the opportunity to cash in on all of the hoopla that they are creating out there for us. I mean, everything that's going on is to get us out there to shop. So if you own a small business, you're really stupid not to take advantage of it. It's free marketing for you, free advertising. You didn't pay a dime for it. All you need to do is get your Facebook, your Instagram, your Pinterest page, get everything going, doing live streams so that you cash in on it.
So you've been an entrepreneur all your life. Tell us a little bit about what you do.
Well, you know, so what is an entrepreneur? An entrepreneur is somebody who gets somewhere along their life. Usually I think it starts when you're like 5, 6 years old, where you begin to look for opportunities. You look out around you and you see something. In my case, I used to go with my dad for dinners when I was like 5 or 6. There was a time period before school where I spent a couple days only with my dad, and he would take me out and we would go and eat. And so I would count the tables and the chairs, and I would look at the restaurant menu, and I'd be with a pencil and paper adding up stuff. My father used to say, "What are you doing?" And I'd say, well, I was trying to figure out how much money, I liked numbers, how much money do people make? And my father found it rather fascinating and kind of funny, but he was into it. And he said to me, let's look at what things cost for them to buy, because, you know, this isn't all profit. And then he taught me what profit was and spoilage in a restaurant, because one of my aunts owned a really very successful restaurant. And so you become obsessed with things like this. Other people go looking for good jobs. You don't look for a job. You figure out, how do I make money? That's really an entrepreneur. So, I mean, I started with a worm business when I was 10 years old, where I was selling worms to fishermen. And my father taught me really good lessons. He said, you know, it's not about your product. It's about the customer. So you need to find out what customers want before you actually spend a lot of time creating something. And a lot of times people don't do that. And when they don't do that, things go awry. Like if you don't have customers, what did you spend 10 years with this silly thing for? So
you
really look at that. And there was a point in my life where, you know, I was teaching college and I was teaching some business classes and whatever. And my sister, who was a lot younger than me, you know, when you have a really younger sister or sibling, they don't really matter to you other than to be difficult. Like, I had to babysit her. She was 6 years younger. I had to watch out for her. I had to make sure she didn't get hurt. But when she got to be bigger, see, I didn't pay much attention to her, but she was quite the salesperson. And she went to FIT, and she majored in textile design. So when she got done, she called me and said, you know, hey, you know, I know you teach in college, but what would you think about going into business with me? I have now, there's that other little entrepreneur. I have an idea. I have a partner with money, and I think we've got a place, and, you know, it wouldn't cost you that much, and what do you think? I was all in. I didn't even care what it was, and it was a pretty steep learning curve for me because I didn't know anything about floor covering. I knew nothing about buying furniture that would sell, but we put a business plan together. You know, we're no different than a lot of little businesses. You grab a napkin and you Hooters. That's how they did that, and that's the same thing that went on with the airline. That's the same thing. They were sitting there writing on napkins, and they were trying to figure out a business plan. You know, 10 things we're going to do, and this is how we're going to do it. Southwest Airlines.
Mm-hmm.
So we got into it. You know, we opened 10 stores, 14 years. We got into all kinds of other things because of that. We went into marketing. We started a magazine. But it was just always, what is the next thing that our customer needed? You know, a customer who buys floor covering needs to have a place where they could figure out, what do I need? Well, there are no magazines for that. You know, maybe there's an article or two in Good Housekeeping, but there wasn't an article that was, you know, really designated to floor covering and how to buy it and what does it look like and, you know, what is the fashion? What's the fashion trend about floor covering? So we did that, and we did very well. We were in Barnes & Noble, and, well, we all know what's happening to print. So now the magazine still exists. My sister passed away, and I still work with the new owners of the magazine, creating ideas, and we're in the rebranding stage right now to take a look at what is the next level for our customer. You know, we've done some focus groups. They say the customer is getting younger. We still have older customers. But as an entrepreneur, you have to constantly be thinking about, what is the next step for my customers? And you can't figure it out in your own head. You've got to talk to them. I have to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, go to the mall. I used to spend a lot of times in the mall. But we know at this point that malls really need to change. And a lot of them are really up in their game. You know, the Mall of America has put in a campground. Why? Because they want people to stay overnight. Isn't that interesting? IKEA in Australia will let you sleep overnight in their little vignettes, which is really kind of crazy. And I mentioned the Metropolitan Museum of Art has an exercise class. By the way, that exercise class costs you $95. And they are booked for almost a year because I called them and I said, oh, my gosh, I have to go to this, right? Because I have to see what consumers are doing. Oh, they said, well, really, sorry, we're booked until I think it was May or something of next year. I thought, oh, boy, how long does it take to get on that? So entrepreneurs are always thinking about, you know, what's the next thing I can do? Going out, talking to people all the time, asking them what it is they look at, think about, what would they want. I was actually in one of those cars. Now, a friend of mine sells new cars, and one of the cars is the one that parks itself, tells you when you've crossed over the center line, tells you when you've moved too far to the right. And I said, listen, I have to go out and drive this thing. I have to see what it's like. And I'm driving it thinking, oh, my gosh, this is, like, absolutely amazing. I won't have to figure out how to park in downtown Albany anymore. I'll just pull up and the car will tell me, you know, it'll say, you know, it's almost like, take your hands off the steering wheel, honey. We know how to do it better than you. So there are things out there. There's new stuff. And as an entrepreneur, if you want to be successful, you always have to be looking at customers, looking at age groups of customers, looking at where they hang out. Look at the kind of phones that they're using, and then figuring out how you could fit in there. Is there a way for you to produce something that they would benefit from?
So listen, in our closing moments, what would you say to any small business who's are struggling to make it?
I would think again about, one, how are you using your social media? Are you using live stream? Are you paying attention to that? What are the kind of things that you can do online? How can you use your business to bring in people? In other words, what should I set up outside? This is the holiday season. Again, this is the time to have Christmas trees. If you can have a food market outside, but this is the type of time to see your business as a place for people to congregate. And then put that in your head for the rest of your year, rest of the year.
Great. So Liz, let's talk again. Let's make a New Year's resolution to do a show like once a month on business and entrepreneurship and different trends that are going on. What do you say?
I think it's terrific. I think let's in between now and the next time, let's you and I go out and let's go to restaurants, let's go to little stores, and let's begin to get some of our own research and present it. Great idea.
Great. And you know, I'm going to share this on social media. So I hope, through social media, people can find out a little bit about you. So give your contact information on how people can, contact you and talk to you.
Okay, so I'm also writing you an article. I have an article written for you about the kind of the things that we've talked about in Small Business Saturday.
Okay.
They can go to my website, and my first name often brings it up. My first name is Lisbeth, L-I-S-B-E-T-H, and it's Calandrino, which sounds just like it sounds. So LisbethCalandrino.com. They can email at lcalandrino@nightcap, or they can call me at 518-495-5380. My next event is in Chicago. I will be speaking at a two-day event for small business and really about, again, how to build your small business. So that's my next event is in Chicago in January.
Thank you, Liz. We shall talk again. You've been listening to Lisbeth Calandrino on Focus on Albany. If you like the show, Liz, let me bring up one other thing before we sign off. You and I have been involved with the radio station for quite a while, for over a year. And it doesn't seem like it's not really progressing any. Do you think it's the business model?
Well, I think that it is progressing. I think what it is that we don't have a stake in the business. We don't own it. We don't own it.
Right.
We don't invest money in it. And so we're kind of like, what is happening? It suffers from, and also not only suffers, but it also has opportunities of any small business, which is how much money do we invest in this business? How do we get it going? Or maybe we can't afford to invest a ton of dough in it. So that means that you have to do things a little bit at a time. So I think it suffers, and I shouldn't say suffers, but that's what small business is about. It really is a small business. You know, it is that particular building, the opportunities that it has. But it despite the fact that it's a not-for-profit, it needs to be looked at as a small business. So all of those things are what makes it work and what makes it, have its challenges. And so I would say it's going through its challenges. That building is magnificent, but it is big, kind of an unwieldy size, a lot of room, and a lot of things that need to be repaired because it's been sitting there for a long time. But I think it certainly has its opportunity. Community radio is terrific, and it will grow.
Okay, Liz, thank you so much. Enjoy your post-Thanksgiving weekend. So if you like this show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, download on your smartphone, subscribe to iTunes. If you have a comment about this show, hashtag Focus on Albany on Twitter. And Liz, give a shout out to WCAA.
Yeah, WCAA 107.3. This is our radio station, and I have a voice.
Thanks, Liz. We'll talk again, and thank you, everybody, for listening. Happy Thanksgiving weekend. Bye.
Bye-bye.